Stephon Marbury is going to join us in studio.
How about that?
In an hour.
And we usually get some stuff, some stuff to read about whoever the guest is. There's a lot of stuff on the Marbury, man.
It's too much stuff is what
it is. Damn.
I mean, I'm not going to read all this. You got to, you highlight some of it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, jeez.
Yeah, this is a lot. Three-time Chinese Basketball League champion. Three-time.
Yes. That's not how I remember Stephon Marbury. But
now, he was a pretty good player for the Knicks, wasn't he?
No, he. But he also became the face of their ineptitude, right? I mean, it became that with them. Because, well, whatever. I mean, I always liked the guy. I got to be honest with you. I liked him. But people don't look back on that era as fun. That's for sure. So he's going to join us in studio, and I think he's going to be really interesting. I'm very excited about this.
Well, he has really made a name for himself abroad, and he is very highly regarded there in China. I mean, it's just amazing. Then he has the very inexpensive sneakers. What do you call them? Starberries?
Yep.
And you're talking about a second act. After leaving the NBA and going over there has had no inclinations to come back. It's all been about staying there. And my buddy used to always say, well, go where people know you. And they damn sure know him over there in China, and he can't do any wrong. So
it's,
good for
it's
him.
Like Bobby Valentine in Japan.
Yeah.
And so you think about these two guys. There are whole cities that despise them because of what they did in sports here. Boston with Valentine, there's a lot of New York Knicks fans who can't stand Stephon Marbury. You think about that, and then there's statues built of that. One in Japan, one in China. It really is. That's what we need to do, I think. That just hit me. No, we need to go and do our show in Japan or China.
No, Latvia.
Yeah, that too.
We would be huge in Latvia.
Yeah, but there's no history of someone going to Latvia and becoming...
Well, we're
going
to make the history. Was there a history of someone going to China? An American basketball player going to China and making history?
Not like Stephon Marbury,
no,
I don't think.
No, there wasn't. Was there any history of a baseball manager going to Japan and becoming...
I don't know. Well,
emperor?
Maybe not as big as Bobby Valentine.
Right. Yeah. So we go to Latvia. Come on. We need to join our cardboard cutouts. Let's do it.
All right.
Having a grand old
time. I'm on board.
You going to do it?
Yeah, sure.
All right, Latvia.
I got nothing to lose at this point.
There you go.
So... Yesterday, Matt Stafford and the Detroit Lions agreed on a 5-year contract that is going to make Matt Stafford the highest paid player in NFL history until the next guy gets more money.
Yeah.
So we've seen it. Andrew Luck, then Derek Carr, now Matt Stafford.
Russell Wilson got his change.
Yeah, Wilson wasn't even close to some of these other guys of the average annual value on the contract. And Stafford's going to have $27 million. It's going to be $90 million of that guaranteed. When you're a quarterback, you do get paid. There's no doubt about it.
I think Wilson at 60-something guaranteed.
Yeah. So
I'll take it.
The reaction from this is always, just like it was with Derek Carr, one season where he breaks out and he gets hurt, and now he's getting this type of money. Matt Stafford, a guy who's never won a playoff game, is getting this type of money. Well, yeah, of course he's getting that type of money because there's no position in sports like the quarterback position.
Right.
So you have a choice. You've got actually three choices. The one choice is to do what the Detroit Lions did. They have a quarterback in Matt Stafford that is better than anybody that they're going to find. He is damn good. He may not be a guy who's won a playoff game or a championship, but he's damn good. And you have to restart the organization if you moved on from him. So you give him the money. That's choice A. Choice B is you do what the Redskins have done with Kirk Cousins and keep franchising him and giving him all the leverage.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you're screwed like the Washington Redskins have been. Or three, you let him go in free agency. So, and start completely over.
Yeah.
So which one of those things do you do if you're the Detroit Lions? Well, to me, it's clear. You got to give them the money.
Yeah.
Now, do you give them that much money? Maybe a little bit less? I don't know, because you don't have that much leverage.
Right. Your hands are pretty much tied, and you know how difficult it is to find a quarterback in this league. And how long were they searching there in Detroit for a quarterback? How many different guys that Barry Sanders played with? So they felt like they have one here, and I saw some stats on Matthew Stafford. Since 2011, he has the most fourth quarter come from behind wins. He's injured, led those more drives than anyone in the fourth quarter for victories. He also is average. I think he's the first guy to average about 270 a game passing the first 8 years in the league. So he's a guy that if you surround him, continue to try to surround him with some talent, is someone you can believe in. And so they're going to lock him up for the next couple of years, and hopefully they can get that playoff win if you're a Lions fan. But, yeah, their hands are pretty much tied. Quarterbacks are hard to find. Ask the Cleveland Browns. So they feel like they got one they can believe in, and so this makes perfect sense. Economically, it makes sense because you're playing a high-profile position, and from an athletic ability and the standpoint of someone who has amassed a ton of yardage passing the ball and who's stayed relatively healthy. I know he's had some nicks here and there where he's been sidelined, but he's been, for the most part, pretty healthy.
And there's no questions about his motivations. There's no questions about him off the field. There's no questions about his work ethic. Yeah. I mean, he's a guy I can trust. Now, the Vikings have had more success than the Lions in that division forever. There's no doubt about it. But currently, I mean, I'd love to have Matt Stafford as the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings. I don't want Sam Bradford. Yeah. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater got me excited, and then his leg fell off. So that was the end of that. I mean, you think about Tavares Jackson and that era, even though I have an authentic Tavares Jackson jersey.
Do you?
I mean, Dante Culpepper was good for like a day and a half, and then his knee disintegrated. I mean, you go back to guys like Spurgeon Wynn.
And
Sean Hill. And all these schmucks that I've seen play the position. Hey, you got a great year out of Randall Cunningham for 1 year. You got a great year out of Brett Favre for 1 year. I mean, to have the same quarterback there for a long period of time that's been healthy and productive, $90 million if I got it, you're going to get it. Come on. Some people don't understand these other situations in the NFL. I mean, everybody uses the Browns as the worst, but there's so many situations
like
this.
Look at what's going on at Jacksonville currently. You spend a number one overall pick for a quarterback, and you're reluctant to name him the starter, but you go ahead and do that. They're hard to come by. Look at what's going on with the Houston Texans. That's why they go out and get a Deshaun Watson. Number of teams you could name that have had this issue, and so when you think you got one that you can latch on to, you better latch on to him.
Yeah, and Mikey B reminded me, Josh Freeman started a game for the Vikings in there for a while. Mm. He was a guy I actually, when he was in Tampa, liked him.
Yeah.
I was like, man, he's going to be
good. He fell off.
Whew, yeah. Did he?
I thought he should have stayed at Kansas State. I believe he came out early out of K-State. But, I thought he had some promise as well. So much for that.
So much for that is right. Deshaun Kizer officially being named the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. And, I mean, it is, I remember you saying this, too, and I think that's part of the reason why my opinion is so down on him, is the fact that you didn't believe he was ready. You didn't believe he was very good. I mean, now he's starting for the Browns. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Deshaun Kizer saying, well, I'm a hell of a lot better than I was when I came out of college. How much better can you really get when you haven't played a regular season game in the NFL? This has the potential to be really bad for them, even though it doesn't seem it can get worse in Cleveland.
Right. Well, I thought he regressed last year because coming out of that season 2 years ago there at Notre Dame, where he was thrust into action, I think it was the second game of the season after Malik Zaire went down versus UVA, I thought the upside for him was tremendous. He's a pro-style quarterback. He has some athleticism as well. And so, I was high on him, but last year he regressed. Now, was that on him? Was that on Brian Kelly? What was the reason for his game taking a hit? And now he's gone to Cleveland. He's being coached up, and he's won the job. And at times he's looked pretty good. Brock Osweiler, when he was in there, didn't engineer any touchdown drives. You got a young cat in Deshaun Kizer who has done that. I thought he should have gone back to school. But, till we get to the bottom of what happened between he and Coach Kelly and everything that transpired there in South Bend, we just have to speculate. So he has all the tools. He definitely has all the tools. Now, is he ready for the NFL level? We won't find out. Well, we are going to find out You know, once he starts going up against defenses that are game planning and scheming to stop him and what Cleveland's trying to employ. So the jury's still out on him, of course, but Hugh Jackson and his staff, they've seen more than enough to name him the starter.
Yeah, the competition was against one of the most frustrating duds of a quarterback we've seen in a long time with Brock Osweiler. And if I'm a Browns fan, I was rooting like hell probably for DeShone Kizer to be the quarterback, because mm-hmm. who the hell wants to see slow motion Brock out there throwing picks and taking forever to throw the football and looking like an idiot like he did last year for the entire season. So yeah, you want that to happen, but DeShone Kizer just sounds and feels like the next guy that is on that tweet of the jersey that everybody puts out, the meme of the million quarterbacks there. That's the way that I feel like it's going to go. Now, if he ends up being the guy who saves the Cleveland Browns and he's that quarterback that's going to be there for a decade with his personality, which is an infectious one in a good way, he's going to be one of the biggest stars in the NFL. But I just don't see it. I don't see it going that way. I don't believe that the guy is ready for this. But in the situation that the Browns are in, it's more exciting. It's more fun. And what do you really have to lose unless you think that throwing him out there too early is going to stunt his growth? I never really believed that, though, if the guy was going to be a good player, because we've seen so many examples, whether it be Troy Aikman or Peyton Manning or whomever, mm-hmm. who started off horribly and then figured it out because they were damn good.
Right, and eventually your talent will rise to the surface, and that's what happened with Troy Aikman. That's what happened with Peyton Manning. And when Troy came in the league, man, the Cowboys were just terrible. Ah, they couldn't win a game. I think they went 1-15 his first year, something of that sort. So he figured it out, and his talent really was on display from then on. Even when he was getting beaten up, he still was able to. You could see the potential in Troy Aikman. And DeShone Kizer, I think he has that type of ability. He checks all the boxes that you want if you're a purist, as our buddy Greg Cosell is at the NFL level, because you know you got a big, tall guy who can make all the throws you want to make. But you know, can he become an NFL pro? That's the key. Can he figure out what defenses are trying to do to him? Can he check to the right play? Can he get you out of this formation and into this one? I mean, so there's so many other things that he's going to have to learn, and he's going to do it on the fly now, and he's going to see pretty quickly that, okay, that preseason stuff, this regular season is a whole different animal than what they were throwing at me in the preseason. Those were just bland defenses. Now they're going to roll into a certain coverage right before I snap the ball, and I've got to be able to adjust on the fly as I'm going through my drops and find a hot receiver if they're sending a blitz my way. So the learning curve here is going to be pretty substantial.
Why do I feel like the Cowboys are going to have a terrible year?
I do, too. While I'm looking forward to seeing this version of the offense, and you know Zeke's not going to be there, at least we'll see. I think the appeal is being held today.
Yeah, I believe so.
So we'll see what happens there. But defensively, I'm still not buying that D. That was the problem last year, especially the pass rushing portion of that defense. You know, see how they play now at the cornerback position, two new corners, and the defensive line, you know, they take a hit. And now you lose Hitchens at the linebacker position, probably their best linebacker. And Jalen Smith is back, the young man out of Notre Dame who sat out all last year because of the horrific knee injury he sustained in the Fiesta Bowl his last year at Notre Dame versus Ohio State. But I'm not sitting here overly optimistic about this season. Not that I think Dak Prescott's going to go into a slump, that sophomore slump everyone likes to talk about. I just don't know if I can believe in this defense. Taco Charlton, you know, in his new little celebration, we'll see if he can get to the quarterback repeatedly. That's going to be the key, because they got to have someone step up at the defensive end position with everyone being suspended.
Now, I know the roster's changed in the NFL so much, mm-hmm. but the Cowboys never put two good years together. Like, if you go back, you know, 2003, 10-6, 2004, 6-10. 2007, 13-3, 2008, 9-7, 2009, 11-5, 2010, 6-10, 2014, 12-4, 2015, 4-12. I mean, in last year, 13-3. Yeah. They never put 2 years together. Now, it's impossible to go all the way back and say that same stench, we're talking about different coaches, different players, everything. The only thing that's the same is Jerry Jones and the star on the helmet, but It's not that long ago that we saw 2014 into 2015, at least, and you still have a lot of different players, including the quarterback, and when Zeke comes back, I mean, the two stars on the team offensively are different, but it just, I don't know. And for this Rod Marinelli magic to continue to happen with that defense, I don't, and there's just so much other stuff. You talk about the bad karma, I don't really believe in the karma thing, but when there's a lot of negative stuff that is building up, it just, yeah, it's a lot to overcome.
I agree. Then there's a whole bunch. I mean, it's just this cloud over my favorite team. And you know, from Ezekiel Elliott and his problems, Randy Gregory, and was it David Irving had the PEDs? Or, I mean, it's just one hit after another. They just can't get out of their own way. So I haven't just sat here and been clamoring to see the Cowboys. Haven't seen any of the preseason stuff other than highlights because I'm a little concerned on the defensive side.
Once a year, there's news about a particular NFL player, generally. And when there is that news, we play some audio from that player. Coming up next, this will be the annual time that we do that. You'll find out what it is and why we love it so much. Next.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Ballinger's been getting a lot of kudos on Twitter for his film study that he tweets out.
Oh, really?
A lot of people have been talking about how great of a job he does.
Oh, I haven't noticed that. Yeah. I follow my man.
Yeah. I know you do. But do you see that stuff?
No.
Right, you don't. Because what you see on Twitter, generally, you, is either the attractive woman or the Trump tweet. Those are the things. That like if I was trying to catch you, that's what I would use.
That is so you know? Untrue.
Yeah, it's true. It's totally true. All right, Bogus is here. He's got another update for us. What's going on, Bogus?
Guys, the Kansas City Royals not scoring like old Pete on Tinder. Four straight games without a run. 43 scoreless innings overall. Five shy of the all-time record. The last two losses last night at the hands of the Rays by 12-0 scores. So first baseman Eric Hosmer wants his crew to be more competitive.
The games really haven't been too competitive. I think we've been putting ourselves in a hole early. So, you know, I know the big problem or the big talk right now is the scoreless streak. But, I mean, we got to start off on being competitive, finding ways to string along some hits and stay in some of these games.
KC is now three games behind the Twins for the second AL wild card, but there are five teams between them, including the Angels, now one game behind Minnesota after beating the A's 3-1. The Red Sox got by the Jays in Toronto 6-5, snapping a four-game skid. Cleveland a 6-2 win in the Bronx.
Yeah.
And the O's got by the Mariners.
1-0 to Davis, swinging a line drive. Base hit down the right field line. That heads to the corner. Mancini hitting the third. He is flying. The ball's misplayed and right by Valencia. Here's Mancini around the score. And the Orioles have the lead.
And then a 7-6 win over Seattle. Jim Hunter, Orioles radio. Chris Davis, the tie-breaking RBI double, bottom seven. Adam Jones went deep earlier in the win for his seventh straight 25-homer campaign, breaking his tie with Cal Ripken for the club record. In the NL, the Cubs took care of the Pirates 6-1, while the Nats hammered the Marlins 11-2. Giancarlo Stanton over three with two Ks. The Mets have shut down Yoenis Cespedes for the season with a strained right hamstring, and David Wright ending his minor league rehab assignment because of shoulder pain.
The Houston the Mets, man.
Yeah, no,
I knew that was going to happen with Cespedes. Too close to the end of the season. He's not coming back. But David Wright, he just can't get right.
Well, that's not something I never expected him to come back and do much. If he was going to come back, it was just going to be like a farewell at bat or two. The Conforto thing was the worst.
Yeah.
That's one of the worst Mets injuries I've ever seen. The fact that the lone bright spot this season swings a bat and then gets a rare injury that might keep him out for an extended period of time. Swinging a bat!
Might change him as a player always.
Yeah. I mean, an injury that nobody's ever seen.
Holy
I mean, Terry Collins, who is older than Home Run Baker, said that he's never seen that in a game of baseball, ever in his life. Guy swings a bat, his arm falls out of the socket. And then they still have the same trainer. I don't know if it's his fault or not, but boy, does it look terrible.
Well, they had that what's his name? Barwin. They have some crazy, fancy, like off-season guy.
Yeah.
Who they were was supposed to fix all of this, and it might have made it worse. I mean, it's at this point now, it's like seance time. Like they need to have some kind of like guru just walk through Citi Field and wipe out all of the bad mojo going around there. It's unbelievable. Sorry to say mojo, Brian.
Yeah.
Well, I'm supposed to be upset about that.
It's a touchy subject. You get upset.
Why is it touchy?
The good old days.
You got anything else?
I do.
You get your touchy off the
I'm sorry, what? In the NFL, the Lions made Matthew Stafford richer last night. A 5-year extension reportedly worth $27 million annually, which would make Stafford the league's highest paid player. The agreement said to include a $50 million signing bonus. The Texans remain in Dallas because of Tropical Storm Harvey, but their hearts and minds are with their city, says head coach Bill O'Brien.
It's tough for our coaches and our players and our ops people and our trainers and everybody that's involved with this organization right now to have to watch it on the news knowing that people are back there suffering. So our thoughts and prayers are with them.
Thursday's preseason finale with the Cowboys move to Dallas. The Astros and Rangers will play the next 3 days in Tampa Bay instead of Houston. The CFL has denied the Hamilton Tiger Cats attempt to hire disgraced Baylor head coach Art Briles as their assistant head coach for offense. And Maria Sharapova knocking off second-seeded Simona Halep in 3 sets on night 1 of the U.S. Open. This was Sharapova's first Grand Slam match since her 15-month PED suspension.
Was Halep in the finals of Wimbledon?
I don't remember. No. Okay. It was Muguruza beating somebody.
Halep.
Was it?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking you.
I don't remember.
Excuse me?
I frankly don't care.
Yeah, why do you care?
Why can't I care?
I'm just, you can, but
because
I'm surprised.
Because Sharapova comes back and she knocks off well, we,
she's top number, she was
out.
Number 2, so you know that much. It was interesting enough. Who cares?
No, she beat Venus. Muguruza beat Venus in the
finals.
Yes. I was going to say Serena, then I knew she was pregnant, and I was halfway there.
Yeah. Because I care.
You do?
All right?
Really?
I heard
Simona Halep?
I heard the name before, and I was like, is that the woman from Wimbledon? Yeah.
It's the woman from Wimbledon?
Who lost in the finals at Wimbledon.
Not this Wimbledon.
Okay. I care about tennis. Is that all right with you?
You don't care.
And that was that.
You don't care about tennis.
I do.
Bull crap.
Sometimes.
You care about the Eastern European hot tennis player.
So
that's
untrue.
Who you care about.
Regardless of their result.
Yeah, where they ended up. Yeah. Wimbledon is.
I care where they end up.
Did she lose in the round of 16 or 32 last year?
You are just so
what? Bold. Why are y'all so dismissive? Of me and my concerns.
Because we know you too well to realize that you're full.
Simona Halep in a Wimbledon final.
Get the hell out of here.
How's the backhand?
Bull crap. Sell us on that nonsense.
It's not nonsense. I heard the name and it brought back Wimbledon to me for some reason.
Like, you didn't care about Wimbledon either.
Yeah, I did.
Women's
we talked
Wimbledon.
About you weren't even here. Bogus and I were here talking about it.
It's Simona Halep.
Yes.
Okay. Sure.
And her mama. Look good.
Media icon.
Exactly. See, I have to care about everything. That's how you become an icon.
Simona Senior. How's she doing?
Hey, girl.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Mama Halep.
Y'all are...
No, wow, it's you terrible. That's the worst.
I am not the worst. That was genuine. That was a genuine question.
Yeah, you ever look around and say, man, you guys are just so hard on me, and then realize, well, maybe it's just you that's the problem.
Oh,
you know?
I'm a problem now.
That's what it is.
I'm going to fix that.
You need to be a better man.
Yeah.
You should watch a TV show about that.
Sex. I'm trying, Mike. Yeah. I'm trying. I'm working on it.
So every year we play this at least once. When there is news about Josh McCown, we go back into the past. And
why are you bringing up that man's past?
Well, because it's there and it's funny. So he beat Simona Halep and Wimbledon. No. So, Josh McCown, he had an issue with pornography. He was addicted to porn.
Yeah.
Apparently, he liked to watch a lot of porn. Mm. Josh McCown was named the starter of the New York Jets yesterday.
But it wasn't his fault.
Right, the porn addiction wasn't.
Yeah.
It's not his fault. He's on the Jets either. But
no, that's his fault. He signed the contract. He said, "I do."
So he decided to start this organization called Porn and Pancakes, where you go basically to porn rehab and you eat pancakes.
I'm going to this class.
You eat pancakes while you talk about your porn addiction. So he tried to explain what porn was like to him, like how he got this porn addiction. Yeah. So he made a video about it, and we like to play the audio once a year because it's just the best.
And when we landed, you know, the boom comes on, and the lady comes on, and she says, "Welcome to Detroit."
There's more to this, Pete. There's wait,
and
we're missing. This is not the full thing.
Immediately, their heads pop up.
And if that's what we're going to play, I'm going to have to explain it a little more. So basically, if you want to just play that one, I'll explain it. So he's trying to make a porn analogy,
right.
And he says that he is on a plane headed to somewhere.
And you land at the wrong place.
Right. And then all of a sudden he's confused because he lands at the wrong place. He doesn't know where he's going. And the person comes on and explains we're in this place instead of somewhere else. Mm-hmm. That's where it comes from. So that is the preface to this audio.
And when we landed, you know, the boom comes on and the lady comes on and she says, "Welcome to Detroit." And everybody, you know, immediately their heads pop up and everybody's going, "What?" You know, and, you know, everybody kind of laughs. She says, "Excuse me, St. Louis," you know, and so we all kind of had a laugh. But what it revealed to me was that that's what porn is a lot like. You go somewhere that you weren't expected to go, and you end up with that feeling of, "What? Where am I?" I can tell you countless times that I've sat at my computer looking at something, going through websites before, and sitting there going, "Wait, where am I? Who is this guy?" If you're not careful, you'll end up being somewhere where you don't want to be.
That's what tennis is like. Wait, hold on. Where am I? Who's this Halep?
Where am I? Who is this guy?
Yeah, who is this Halep?
What? Every time I hear it, it's the worst analogy ever. It really is the worst analogy. Like, all of a sudden, we land, and the steward is confused about where you are. Like, who is this guy that's looking at this pornographic material? I don't know this person.
Wait, who am I? Where am I? Whoa.
And I'm willing to bet
do that?
That probably 99.9% of people that are watching porn meant to go there.
Yeah.
They didn't just end up there like, man, you know, I was looking to donate to the church, and then all of a sudden, I'm watching this. How did this happen to me? Now, I cannot look at Josh McCown. I cannot hear his name. I can't listen to him without thinking about this.
That's what porn is lot like.
That's the
first thing that comes to mind.
Yes.
That is not the first thing that comes to mind when I think of Josh McCown.
Well, it is for me. This was his defining moment. That he had some sort of bizarre pornography addiction that he felt like needed to be corrected by eating pancakes and talking about it. And then also he stumbled upon porn where he was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
If you're not careful, all of a sudden, porn. What are you talking about?
Yeah. You were looking for it.
Bull crap. You know you were looking for it.
And you stumbled, and you may have stumbled the first time, and you stayed a while.
Yeah.
You sat a spell.
Oh, sat a spell. Yeah. You're walking down the sidewalk, you trip over. Oh, it's porn.
What was that?
Porn. Oh, if I was a little more careful, I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have tripped over this
porn.
This office scene.
But how do we rectify this? How about we involve pancakes?
Because who doesn't love that?
Yeah. Everybody loves pancake. See, I used to pour the syrup on her. And see, that helped you wane you off the porn, because the syrup now goes on the pancakes.
Yeah.
Right?
What? Where am I?
I don't know what I just said.
Josh McCown also started a new organization called Heroin and Frittatas, where he's helping people kick their addiction.
Heroin and hamburger.
You got something to say, Mikey B?
What if you're gluten-free and like porn?
That's tough. You got to go somewhere else.
You tell us.
I'm not gluten-free.
Oh. Thought you were speaking for you.
I'm not trying to quit.
Are you gluten-free or are you gluten-free?
A combination of both. The gluten-free is the worst. It really sticks to you.
At least he's honest. He said he's not trying to quit. You're honest.
Gluten-free.
There you go.
Gluten-free.
No, it's
gluten, man.
Gluten.
Gluten, man.
Why can't you pronounce T's? It's amazing.
I don't know.
What if you're gluten free?
We're going to get you help somewhere.
You can't have the pancakes. Gluten free.
Yeah.
Coming up next.
Wow.
Jim Harbaugh. Jim McElwain.
Just show up the damn upturn, okay?
Getting into it.
Come on.
Couple of guys that need to relax. Coming right back.
Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
You're having the classic peeing match. I'm not allowed to say the other one, I don't think. Between Jim McElwain and Jim Harbaugh. And it's all over releasing depth charts.
Mike Haynes is winning.
You know, I'm not going to explain that joke. It's just too much. If you listen to the show a lot, then you'll know that joke.
Yeah, dig it up in the archives. Yeah.
When we were kids, we could pee over that fence.
There you go. And that's Mike Haynes. Thanks, Pete, for being on top of that. It was a nice job. So anyway, Jim McElwain won't name his starter. Mm-hmm. Jim Harbaugh won't tell you anybody who's on his team. He got to guess what the depth chart is. Jim McElwain said he obviously, speaking about Harbaugh, he obviously felt he needed to do some things to be relevant, and that's his choice. I probably wouldn't have done it. End quote. To be relevant. Now, of course, as you know, Michigan plays Florida.
Yeah.
First week of the college football season. That's why this is going on. Mm-hmm. Jim Harbaugh doesn't need to do stuff like this to be relevant, Jim McElwain. I know you had to hump a shark to be relevant. Oh, no, that wasn't him. That's right. But he doesn't need to do stuff to be relevant. He's the most relevant. Him, Saban, Urban Meyer, they don't need stuff to be. They just are relevant. They're relevant. They've been relevant. They're going to continue to be relevant. This whole thing is just so stupid. I mean, this is when guys like this who are so competitive and so tedious take it to another level. Just give them all the damn information, whatever it is you need to put out there, and stop with the nonsense and go beat the other team and shut up.
Harbaugh is saying McElwain hasn't announced who's going to be the starter quarterback for his Gators. Is it going to be Felipe Franks? Will it be Del Rio? Or will it be the new Gator, Malik Zaire, who came over from Notre Dame, a transfer, graduate transfer? So it's just tit for tat. And we've seen Harbaugh do this previously. I forget what names he put on the roster, but they weren't even football players. He put some crazy names on there. And he's always playing these type of mind games. And I don't know what it gets him, really. But he is correct. Florida has a name to starting quarterback, so he has a name, and we all believe it will be Wilton Spade, who started last year, of course. So this is much ado about nothing. What you're going to do, you're going to scour the film from last season. Michigan's last game, if I'm correct, was Florida State in the Orange Bowl. So the Gators will look at that film. So that's a common opponent because they played Florida State as well. And so you will scour everything they did a season ago, and you'll go off of that. Although you're going to have different players because you have only one returning starter on the defense side of the ball, Rashawn Gary. Offensively, you're going to have new wide receivers, some holes on the offensive line to fill. So you got more than enough to work with. You just don't know the name of the players.
Yeah, and this is just a couple of guys who are really fired up and haven't played a game in a long time, just being annoyed with one another. Mm-hmm. And McElwain at the pep rally, I love how this is news. McElwain at a pep rally said they were going to beat the heck out of Michigan. Oh, really?
Oh, no!
Oh, wow.
He did not!
How disrespectful.
No.
How disrespectful.
That is just wrong.
What the hell do you want him to say? We're going to go out there and hopefully we'll win. It's a pep rally!
That is just... How could he say such a thing? What's wrong with him? Did you hear about the Florida State president, though? He went out and said Florida State's going to whip Alabama. Yeah. Going to embarrass them.
Good.
Yeah, that's wrong.
I like the confidence.
That's wrong. Come on, player.
Why not? Why not? Doesn't matter what you say. You're telling me Alabama's going to get extra motivation for what the Florida State president says?
I just don't want Florida State president saying that. Stay in your
lane. Let him say what he wants to say.
No. He's not out there. He's not calling plays.
But he would if he could. He's got a heart of a champion, that guy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
What's his name?
I don't know.
Yeah, me neither. But I know
nameless.
He's got.
He needs to be nameless.
The heart of a champion.
He's glad we don't know his name.
Yeah, I'd run through a
sure
wall.
Sure, he thought
for him.
Better of those comments.
Nah, he didn't.
No?
He's sticking by his school.
All right.
I mean, of all the stuff that's being said and done these days, like people being confident about their football team does not annoy me anymore. It just doesn't. And I'm happy to hear people be confident in their football team and say things like that.
True.
Makes it more interesting.
Well, I understand that. It depends on who's saying it and whether or not they can back it up. Because one thing you learn at a very young age, you don't taunt the alligator till you cross the river, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
Once we got that understanding, don't let your alligator mouth write a check that you hummingbird ass can have.
Right? Your hummingbird ass.
Yes. If you're listening, kids.
It's tough to catch a hummingbird, though, man. Like, it might not be able to. It's not that physically intimidating. Those things fly around. They're quick.
All right.
The little bastards.
They are.
Yeah.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
So Michigan's going to be wearing all maize uniforms.
Going to be bright.
Yeah.
Did you see them? They haven't worn those since, what, 28 or something like that? 1920? Yeah, I did see them.
Yeah,
you'll be fine. Yeah.
Look a little bit like West Virginia.
Yeah,
though.
They do. Similar color schemes. Yep.
So I don't know if I love it or not. Mm. It's like some of these programs, I like the classic look more than like Michigan. Give me the classic look. I don't need the glitz and the glamour from Michigan.
You know, well, this is classic. This is going way back.
But it's
from
not
the beginning.
But nobody remembers it. 1928.
They want you to remember it, and then they can sell it. See, boom, then they sell it.
I know what they're doing.
And who's going to get some money off of it?
I know what they're
not
doing.
Not you.
I get it.
Mr. Quarterback.
I understand they're going to wear them. Everybody's going to buy them, and they're different and fine. Yep. I get why they do it.
Okay.
And just my personal preference when it comes to iconic football programs.
Penn State.
You don't mess with the prison look. Yeah, you don't mess with it.
Yeah, Bama. They don't mess with Texas. We don't mess with it. They did have those, what were they, kind of metallic-looking Longhorns last year. No more of that. People were in an uproar. We don't do that at Texas. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm with you, though.
There are certain teams, but there's some that I you think you have to. Like, you got to go above
Oregon
beyond.
Had to.
Yeah.
And it worked for them.
And it does
and
help.
And everyone seems like they have to do it.
Right. Well, it does help in recruiting. I do firmly believe that.
Of course.
Like, there's a lot of players that are into looking cool. I do think that matters to people. I remember back at Pitt, people wanted that Pitt script so bad. The players wanted it desperately. And when Steve Peterson was there as the AD, he was like, we're not going to go back to that. And then the second that he got canned, they went back to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the players went crazy.
Yeah.
They were happy. People
it's
were
cool.
buying it. That stuff matters to people.
I agree. Yeah. So, I'm with you.
Anyway.
Keep it simple, stupid.
So there's a controversy around here that the construction that's going on is making people sick, apparently. So we have
just talked to Don Hoho out there.
Yeah.
And he said it wasn't necessarily this construction. He has some construction going on at home as well.
Can you call out into the newsroom, get the Hawaiian snowball in here?
Yeah.
So Sean Marash, who is the producer of the DA show, you probably heard him on the air once or twice. He missed work yesterday.
Damn,
with a severe sore throat.
Mm-hmm.
Like something that just kept him out of work. Tell him to go into this. Come, you can come into the studio.
Don't get us sick.
So he thought that he had strep throat.
Is he contagious?
No, I don't believe so. Right. So he thought that he had strep throat. And
he thought he knew who Don Ho was. He said he was that a Chinese emperor or something?
No, man.
Famous singer from, famous entertainer from Hawaii.
Yeah, well, he's wearing a big shirt with pineapples
all over
it. That's why it's Hawaii.
He's been eating ho-hos.
Yeah, see? There he goes. Mm-hmm. So you go to the doctor, you think you have strep throat, and the doctor tells you what?
Doctor tells, they take the whole strep throat culture, everything. You have something viral we typically see in construction workers.
Now, why this is interesting is there's construction going on here at CBS Sports Radio and CBS Radio building. So the second that somebody heard that this morning in the newsroom, everybody's freaking out. Yeah. We're all going to get sick.
I've been feeling something too, man.
Pete Bilotti, our board up, called his lawyer immediately. Do you think that you are sick because of the construction that's happening here?
I mean, when they said construction,
remember what we talked about, boy, I'm representing you.
Yes.
I'm going to give this place a pass.
Oh, are you?
I'm going to give this place a pass. I want to blame it, but I'm going to give it a pass. Also, just to calm everybody down here, I had my bathroom done last week, so I had double construction, breathing in stuff at home, breathing in stuff here. It's not coincidental. I got it from something.
Wow.
It could be here.
That whole case.
You don't want to be the guy who sues the company.
I like my job. I like the future of my job, but I'll say this.
Sitting on the beach, too.
A doctor tells me that I got something that's common to construction workers on the same week I'm breathing in stuff from work and home. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
This isn't a coincidence.
Work could be the culprit, right?
Could be, obviously, yes. There's a big dust cloud earlier
we're
in the
back,
week.
We're back on track. Now, my type of client.
Have you seen a lot of like schmutz in the air or anything? Like I haven't seen anything.
The
really.
First 2 days, not the end of the week. The first 2 days, we were walking through just to get to the bathroom. It was like walking through the movie The Mist.
Yeah.
Just
really
sawdust everywhere that, and we laughed about it and everything like that. But I guess it took a couple days. Sat in the lungs a little bit, and away we went.
Are you gonna die?
Eventually. I mean, if I die, I'm sure it'll be for my cholesterol, not because of what I breathe in here.
Listen, if we can get paid over this, like I'm going to go on the other side of that curtain and start snorting some drywall. Like, honestly, like why not, right? You see me like eating screws. I don't know. What do you want me to do? Wow. All right. Well, you feeling any better today?
A little bit, but
I can hear it.
A lot of mucus coming up here. Not good for anybody.
Is it like gross colored?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
everything.
You're nasty.
And this can't be contagious because you breathe something in, right?
No, and now I'm on some kind of Z-Pack, they call it, or something.
The antibiotic.
So that cuts out anything that's contagious, so we'll be okay. We'll survive.
Everybody's going to be coughing in here. Every producer, blown off, tape off.
Now I'm coughing.
Get out of here. Get right here show.
Go Sean, figure out who Don Ho is.
Sean Mraz.
Know your history.
Mraz. Class action lawsuit. Oh, no. There's so much stuff going on.
All of a sudden, I can't breathe.
Yeah, my asthma's been bad recently.
I didn't even have it till yesterday.
Till now? Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of phlegm.
They put up these giant plastic tarps everywhere around here
it's
to
not
make
help.
It's just not working. Oh, boy. All right, coming up next, we're very, very excited. Welcome in Stephon Marbury.
Already?
Yeah, man.
I haven't read this lengthy sheet we got on him.
He played in the NBA, went to China. He was better there. He's got some shoes.
Georgia Tech!
There you go. You happy about that?
Yep.
All right. Yeah, if we can still speak on the other side of this break, we're going
to
interview.
He should be used to this. He lives in China.
Gio and Jones. CBS Sports Radio.